And we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. And the thought tonight is sizing up our tongue. How would we measure a tongue? Someone says, well, I've got a 100-foot tape. Maybe that'll work. I heard one time of a lady who told the preacher, I'm going to come and put my tongue on the altar tonight. He said, I don't know if we have enough room or not. And just all kinds of things like that. But I'll tell you a true story I heard this morning. As Miss Polly was leaving, she said that her son-in-law had surgery on his tongue and just a short time ago, and he had been a smoker and had abused his body in a lot of different ways and had cancer of his tongue, and they did surgery and removed part of his tongue. And then they took a graft from his thigh and placed it on his tongue. And it was supposed to graft to become a usable tongue. It didn't work. So then they had to take him, and that was 16 hours of surgery. And then they had to take him back to surgery and redo the surgery. They took the graft from the other side of his body. And so now they're waiting. They don't know what the end results are going to be. I've never heard of that being done. And so I'm assuming it's something medically new and I'm sure very, very painful. My wife's brother went through surgery on his tongue, his jaw, and so forth for the same reason. And they just cut away and threw away. They didn't graft anything back or anything. But medical science is making some real strides. And I don't know if this will work or not. I don't know if he'll be able to taste with this new tongue. I don't know if he'll be able to speak with this new tongue. I think all those things are kind of hidden to them right now. But I thought that she said, you said you're preaching about the tongue tonight. I want to tell you the story. And she told me that this morning. So as you think about Miss Polly, you might pray for her son-in-law that the goodness of God might lead him to make whatever decision in his life he ought to make. That would be a good thing. The Lord Jesus has been doing surgery on tongues for a long time. And when the Lord Jesus does surgery on a tongue, this is what he uses, the sword of the Spirit. And so tonight I pray in Jesus' name that we'll gain from this, each of us as individuals, myself as much as anyone, will glean from the message and the scriptures tonight that which we need to better serve him who loved us and died for us. The Bible says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. Is there anyone here that's perfect? No, we don't have anybody. Well then, we must all be people who offend with the word from time to time. So the Bible says, in many ways we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, and that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on the fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? either a vine figs, so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. That's a frightening verse. That's a frightening verse. You know, you go to the doctor and you tell him your symptoms. Doctor tells you what's wrong with you. Here Jesus said, if you have envy and strife, that's the symptoms, then you have confusion, and with that, every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of the righteous is sown in peace of them that make peace. May God add his blessing to the word of God tonight as we try to preach what he's laid upon my heart. There's many things in life that have both good and bad tendencies towards them. And we could give you some examples. For an example, electricity. Electricity is a wonderful thing. Electricity is a wonderful thing. I mean, you take a defibrillator, electricity is a wonderful thing. Some guy, you know, his heart quits, he flops over on the ground, and they come up, and he's alive again, or he's working again, his body's working again, functioning again, because the electricity did good for that body. But you take the same electricity and put it into an electric chair and flip the switch, and what happens to his body is not good. Two different uses for the same thing. Anybody heard anything lately about guns? Guns can be a good thing. You put a gun in the hands of a proper person, it can feed his family. It can protect his home, his loved ones, his possessions. It can be used in military situations. And as I understand, the reason that Japan didn't come on over to California when they bombed Pearl Harbor was because they heard that there's a gun in every home and someone that knew how to use it. And they said, we can't go up against an army of that size. And so a gun can be a very good thing, but you put it into the hands of a terrorist or someone that hates people, full of hate and bitterness and so forth, and it can be a very bad thing. Fire can be a good thing. On a cold morning, you can warm your body. It can cook your meal. It can give you light. It can be a good thing. But it also can be a very devastating thing. When you talk about the fires in Colorado and the fires in Texas in the last year or so, it can be a very terrible thing. It can destroy. It can kill. It can torture. And one of these days, the fire of hell is going to torment people in a place created for the devil and his angels forever and ever. Well, the tongue is no different than these other things. The tongue is a tool that God placed in our mouth. It helps us to speak with clarity. It helps us to be able to sing, if we can sing at all. It helps us to pronunciate and enunciate our words and so forth. We can use it to taste. Oh, thank God. Thank God for a good taste. I'm glad that in my maturing years, I can still taste food. My father-in-law couldn't taste. He said he ate Tabasco sauce because it was the only thing he could taste. And I prayed a long time ago that God wouldn't let me be affected by that, and God has answered that. And food just tastes good to me. I mean, it just tastes good. And so the tongue can be a very good thing. And when it's used for what I think it primarily was made for, and that be for speaking, for communicating, when it's in the mouth of a spirit-controlled person, it's a very good thing. Very needed thing, very necessary thing, a thing that God uses. But if it's in any other place, it can have a tendency towards evil and towards every type of situation you can possibly think of. The subject of the message tonight is in the mouth of everyone that's here and everyone that's listening on live stream, and welcome to you. We didn't pause to take time to do that before, and forgive me for that. But our tongue can be used for good or evil. And tongue sins are common with too many people too often today. And I guess sometimes it's better if you do a little confessing before you come to the pulpit. For a number of years in my life, I sharpened my tongue. I wanted to be able to give a sharp answer, a clear answer. I didn't want people to wonder what I was thinking or what I thought about a matter. And if I disagreed, I wanted to know I disagreed completely and absolutely. And I honed my tongue. I worked my tongue. And listen, that's a hard thing to get over. That's a hard thing to overcome. And God tells us the only thing that can overcome the tongue is the Lord. And I thank God for the advancements that He's made. But there's still a lot of work to be done with my tongue. And we need to understand that. I heard a story of a young man that was working at a produce department, and he was asked by an older lady if she could purchase a half a head of lettuce. And he looked at her and he said, "A half a head? You want to buy a half a head? Are you serious?" He said, "God grows those things, whole heads, and that's how we sell them." And the older lady looked back to him and very kindly said, "You mean, after all the years I've shopped here, you won't sell me a half a head of lettuce?" He said, "Look, if you'd like, I'll ask the manager." Well, she indicated that that would be appreciated, and so the young man took off in a march to go to the front of the store, and he says, "You won't believe what just happened. But there's a lame-brained idiot of a lady back there who wants to know if she can buy a half a head of lettuce." And he saw his boss going, and he looked behind him, and he said, "And this wonderful lady here wants to know if she can buy the other half of a head of lettuce," not knowing that she had followed him there. So after a while, manager found the young man and asked him, or said to him, "That's the finest example of thinking on your feet that I've ever seen. Where did you learn that?" He said, "I grew up in Grand Rapids. If you know anything about Grand Rapids, you know that it's known for its great hockey teams and its ugly women." My wife just went. The manager's face flushed a little bit, and he interrupted the man, and he said, "My wife is from Grand Rapids." And the young man said, "And which hockey team did she play for?" It's good to have good wit. It's good to have a good mind. It's good to have a good comeback. But it's better to guard our words. Not the Bible says, "Set a watchman at my lips." And we need to understand the need of that. In our text today, the Bible says, "If any man offend not in word." And so I believe God has a message here for every one of us. Perhaps some of us need it more readily than others. Perhaps some of us need it more often than others. But victory is victory, and that's what we ought to be looking for through the preaching of the Word of God, victory in our lives. The tongue has power, first off, to direct. The Bible uses two examples of directing things much more powerful than we are with very small things. It uses the bit and a horse. And the Bible testifies that we put a bit in a horse's mouth to direct them. And though they're much stronger than we are, they can be trained to be completely controlled with a bit. Of course, they can be trained to be controlled even without a bit. But the bit is used to control them as they're being trained and so forth. Different styles of bits, snaffle bits, and different types of bits to work on different types of horses and the different attitudes and so forth. But the Bible uses that as an example. A small thing controlling a big thing. And then the helm of a ship. The Bible talks about the great ships or the big ships. I forget which is the word that is used. But the Bible testifies that, A great ship. And also, they're driven by fierce winds and so forth. And yet, a small helm can direct that thing. And so it is with the tongue. It can be used to give direction. In Proverbs 18 and verse number 21, the Bible says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." Well, that ought to cause us to stop and think. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And then that ought to also tell us to beware of being busy about spending idle words. busybodies. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 19, the Bible says, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. And so God has warned us, I think, in that portion of Scripture to be careful about telling questionable stories. Be careful about telling half-truths. Someone says that a half-truth is a whole lie. And I believe that there's some truth in that. And then, of course, it ought to talk to us about just lying. You know, every once in a while I want to tell people, hold on just a minute and go find me a mirror and look and see if I don't have foolish written across my forehead or something. When some people who claim to be Christians will tell me things that I know are they're not true. And sometimes you want to just say that's a lie and watch them collapse. But then if that's not what God directed me to do, then I have to answer for my tongue as well as them have to answer for theirs. And so there's good and bad. We can direct people wrongly, or we can direct them to the Lord Jesus with our tongue by giving them the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm glad that the day that Brother Dave Shook came and knocked on my door, I'm glad he didn't come with a chip on his shoulder. Several people said he came because he was made to do that or lose his job. I don't believe that that's true. Now, he may not have wanted to go see me particularly, and he may not have wanted to go on that particular night, but at any rate, he came, and when he came, he was very calm, very collected, knew his subject very well, and wanted to see a sinner get saved. And he didn't want to argue, didn't want to talk politics, he didn't want to talk about my health, he wanted to talk about my spiritual health. And there in my home, he won me to Christ because of the way he talked. Had he entered the doorway with the attitude that we sometimes have and call it serving Christ, I doubt if I'd have had much to say, except maybe asking him to leave my home. But a tongue can be used to direct, and it does direct. As we talk with children, I think of the bus route and the bus children. The way we meet them in the hall, the way we greet them in a classroom, the way we talk to them when they're about the building here and out on the grounds and so forth, it can direct them to go either way. I think of the fact, and I used to know the name of the church. I have forgotten that. But how many of you know a fellow by the name of Mundy? Raised. No, who was? No, that's not the right name. The guy who was the cannibal. I can't think of his name. Probably good that I can't. Raised under the shadow of the steeple of an independent Baptist church. Never got a visit. Never had anyone tell him about Jesus as far as it's known. And he was found guilty of killing children to eat their body parts. We can direct people with the power of our tongue. And then, so it not only does it have the power to direct, but it has the power to destroy. Go with me in your Bible to two places. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 16 to start with. And we won't be doing a lot of flipping through the pages tonight, but Proverbs chapter 16, when we think about destruction by the tongue, verse number 27, an ungodly man diggeth up evil. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever busied yourself trying to find some smut on somebody? Questioning people, talking about his history, talking about where he came from, about what he did before he got here. The Bible says here, an ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is a burning fire. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. When someone tries to gossip to you, it might be a good thing if you just tell them, listen, you're calling me a liar, because a liar gives heed to naughty lips and to a naughty tongue. We need to understand that. And then maybe we ought to just tell them don't be sending your filth here. Don't be spreading your wickedness in my mind, in my heart. Matthew chapter number 12. Verse number 34. Here is part of the recipe on how to tame that tongue that's directing wrong or that is destroying. In verse number 34 of the book of Matthew chapter 12, the Bible says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Amen. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Here the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Boy, when you go back and you think of some of the things you've said to different people, my goodness, the heart must truly be deceitful and desperately wicked, and who can know it? And then the Bible says in verse 35, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. And so what comes out of our mouth is what we've placed into our heart. And the Holy Ghost of God wants to take this word and he wants to plant it deep into our hearts. And so even in a time of frustration, the thing that will come to our mind is the word of God, and not cursing or swearing or promising to do bad things to somebody, but the word of God. And so the word of God can direct us. The tongue can direct us. So can the word of God. And the tongue can also has power to destroy. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 18, the Bible says, there is that speaketh like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Have you ever thought that you could, as a doctor, as a medical professional, you can stand in for a medical professional by the words that you speak to someone? And when you speak to someone, your speech is going to be uplifting to them, or it's going to be destructive to them. And the Bible says that we can use it to minister to people. It can be a medicine. It can be a medicine. I know people that I just like to be in their presence. I just like to be around them. Brother Carl Boonstra is one such person. I just enjoy being with him. If I lived in the same town he is, I'd mow his lawn. I'd take his clothes to the cleaner. I'd scrub his floors. I'd do whatever just to spend a little bit of time with him. I just love being around him. Because when you leave being around him, you just feel clean. You just feel good. No gossip. No, if he gossiped, it was about Jesus and not the neighbor. And it's just good. The Bible testifies that our tongue can minister to people like a medicine. And then not only can it destroy, but it can also, it has the power to delight. The two examples God uses here is a fountain and a tree. Now, they're not going to both be, not going to be good fruit and bad fruit on the same tree, meaning now you can have a rotten apple on one side of the tree and a good apple on the other. And you can have the better apples are always up higher, harder to get, out of the reach of normal people. You've got to scurry up the tree, or you've got to pull the tree down to you, or get a ladder or something or another. But apple and apple on a tree are the same. One isn't good and one of them bad. One's not bitter and terrible and the other delicious. It just doesn't happen that way. And then the other example is bad water and sweet, bitter water and sweet. They don't both come out of the same fountain. If you go out on, I think it's on 488 as you go out of town, there's a spring out there. Nearly every time you go by, there'll be cars parked there, and they're filling up water jugs. And I spoke with Brother Joe about that, and he said that sometimes they'll go out there and just get the water just because it tastes good. And Brother Joe doesn't drink coffee, so I don't know what do you use water for if you're not going to drink, if you're not going to make coffee? I don't understand that, but... he and no one else would go out there. If one day you went and it was sweet and wonderful, and the next time you went it was bitter and sour and ugly looking, it wouldn't work. And so it is with our life. We have the power to delight and we have the power to disappoint. Proverbs 18 and verse number 4. The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters and as a wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. Oh, what's in our hearts comes out of our mouth. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse number 2. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth. Huh. Not eating too well? A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressor shall eat violence. Well, the book speaks pretty plain on a lot of things, doesn't it? Now, let's note some wrong uses. Let's go back in the book of James again. And let's go back to the first of the chapter, or first of the book for a little bit. And let's notice some wrong uses for the word of, or for the tongue being used in wrong ways. In chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, the Bible says, "Let no man say," that would be using his tongue, wouldn't it? "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed." And so accusing God when we're tempted. You know, something goes wrong in our life, and one of the first things we want to do is get angry with the Lord. Shame on us. Shame on us when we do that. And I've done it. Probably some of you have too. In verse number 26 of the same chapter, "If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain." Here the Bible talks about the wrong use of our tongue would be to speak hypocritically. You know, speak one way and one time, and one way on Sunday, another way on Saturday. Oh, when I was growing up, my dad had a big deal about, you know, people that live all week one way and then go to church on Sunday and ask for forgiveness and go out and live wicked the rest of the next week and so forth. And so it is. So it is. Chapter 2, beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says, "My brethren, have not faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if I come unto you, unto your assembly, a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool, are ye not then partial to yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts?" To express distinction in your dealings with people. If they're rich, you deal one way, and if they're poor, you deal another way. And God says that ought not to be. Ought not to be. Chapter 2, verse number 15. Chapter 2, verse 15. "If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit?" Here the Bible says that it's wrong. The wrong use of our tongue is to speak without feeling, without having a heart towards the needy. There's people all around us that have needs. Maybe some of the greatest needs is just to have some understanding. And then, of course, chapter 5 and verse number 12, I think this one probably would almost go without saying. It says, "But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, lest you fall into condemnation." Cursing and swearing ought not to. Isn't it something, you know, so many people that don't even believe in the name of the Lord Jesus, if they really want to call you down, they'll use his name as a curse word. And what a shame it is when it's somebody who says they know the Lord Jesus, and you have pretty good reason to think that he does. We have a Bible example of that in Peter. Peter was trying to prove that he didn't know Jesus. Why would you do that? Why would you do that? Well, he did it for fear. He was afraid maybe he'd be executed next, or that he'd be stoned or something or another. And so when they pressed him about belonging to the Lord Jesus, to prove that he didn't know Jesus, he cursed. Isn't that something? And I know people that name the name of Jesus, and they'll cuss up a storm. They'll They'll turn the air blue with their cursing and so forth. And so there's wrong uses. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 10, the Bible says, for he that will love life, don't you want to love life? He that will love life and see good days, you want to see good days? Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. So God gives us a promise there. He gives us a guarantee. Not Old Testament, so if somebody would shy away from. I'm glad that we covered today the fact we believe both Testaments. Both of them. Fact is, when the Bible says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, the only Scripture they had to refer to there was the Old Testament. Well, there's some correct uses of the tongue. We can use the tongue to praise the Lord. We talked about that this morning. The Bible says in James chapter 3 and verse number 9, we covered it a while ago, wherewith bless we God, even the Father, and wherewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. And then he says, brethren, these things ought not to be so. When we think about praising the Lord, when you get to the book of Psalms, and some people, it's their occasion to read five chapters in the book of Psalms every day. That'll put you through the book of Psalms in 30 days. But when you get back to the end of it, chapter 146, 47, 48, 49, and 50, they all start with praise ye the Lord, and they all end with praise ye the Lord. And you know, if we just remember that, what a difference it can make in our hearts and our lives. We can use our lips and our tongue for praying, voicing those things that are in our heart, putting into words before God. And sometimes it's difficult to do. And when it is really difficult, and not just our lack of study or our lack of attention, when it is really difficult, we thank God we have the promise that the Holy Ghost of God will make intercession for us with groanings that can't be uttered. Not speaking about tongues. He said they're groanings that people can't even utter. It's not speaking about an unknown tongue. It's speaking about the Holy Ghost of God talking to God the Father right in His very presence. Well, praying. Chapter 1 of the book of James. Chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. The Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, have you ever felt like you needed more wisdom than what you have? Yeah. Oh boy. Oh boy. More wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given. I believe the Bible says that we don't have to fear asking God for, you know, it's as if the Holy Ghost of God through James is telling us that some people believe that if I went to God and asked Him for wisdom, He might chew me out. But the Bible says that if he asks to God, God's going to give to all men liberally and upbraideth not. And so we can pray for wisdom. We can pray for help. Verse number 6 says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. And we need to understand the importance of believing what we pray. Chapter 5 in the book of James. Chapter 5. And verses 13 through 16. The Bible says, Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing. Psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. And so we can pray for two things here, for help for those that are afflicted, and we can use our tongue to pray for healing. And certainly we need to do that. In chapter 5, verse number 17 and 18, we can use our lips and our tongue to pray for big things. You know, sometimes we pray for little things. We wouldn't ask the Lord to make our house payment, that's too big. But we might maybe ask him to take care of our utility bill. But big things. Verse 17. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. In answer to prayer. In answer to prayer. I think of times in Colorado when we could have wished that someone knew how to pray that way. And then we need to understand that, let's see, verse number 20. Let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Here the Bible is talking about soul winning and backsliders and trying to reach them with the gospel, trying to reason with them. It takes a speaking first to God and then to men. Somebody said that sometimes we make a mistake about speaking to men about God before we talk to God about that man. I think that probably is a mistake. And then we can use the Word of God, or use our tongues in a good way, singing. I like to sing. I like singing. I like the hymns. I like going to churches where I know the songs that they're singing. And maybe they don't sing them exactly like we do or like we used to or something, but they sing the same songs. And it gives you a camaraderie. It gives you an ability to fellowship, and it's good. And I believe that God is for us singing, and we need to take advantage of that. Psalms 51, verse number 14, the Bible says, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. How long has it been since you just sang to the Lord about his righteousness, or to someone else? Singing. And then certainly witnessing. Psalms 107, verse number 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. God said we ought to be talking about that. And you know, it's real hard, no matter how upset you are at someone, to go and begin the conversation talking about the Lord Jesus and end it being angry and upset. But if you go into a conversation upset, it's real hard to end it talking about the Lord Jesus. And so we need to let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And then Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8 says, but ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, the uttermost part of the earth. Here we find that one of the indications that the power of God is upon our life, not speaking in tongues, not spitting bubbles, not rolling in the aisle. God does, that's just all nonsense. God says if we have the Spirit of God's power upon our life, we're going to be witnesses. That takes the proper use of our tongues. The poet said it this way, only a word of anger, but it wounded one sensitive heart. Only a word of sharp reproach, but it made the teardrops start. Only a hasty, thoughtless word, sarcastic and unkind, but it darkened the day before 'twas bright and left a sting behind. Only a word of kindness, but it lightened one heart of its grief. Only a word of sympathy, but it brought one soul relief. Only a word of gentle cheer, but it flooded with radiant light the pathway that seemed so dark before and turned it, oh, so bright. One word. I don't really understand all of this, but the Bible says a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. I know that when the Bible speaks of apples, it's usually referring to not their taste, but their smell. And it's a refreshing smell. And I don't know about the pictures of silver and apples of gold, but I know this. I know that God blesses words fitly spoken. And God will give us words to fitly speak if we ask Him to and believe that He will. Our tongue, an unruly thing. Maybe we ought to put that thing on the altar. Let's pray.